A young man, a successful executive, was traveling down a neighborhood in his brand new Jaguar. He has one of those fancy S-type sedans with all the extras on it. And who could blame him, after all? If the car boasted a 3-liter, 6-cylinder, 240 horsepower engine with 5-speed automatic transmission. I think we see those coming up and down the road here, don't we? Or at least they think they're driving a Jag the way they drive, right? He was watching for kids darting out from between parked cars, however, and slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed, no children appeared. Instead, a brick smashed into the Jag's side door. He slammed on the brakes and spun the car back around and went back to where he had been hit by the brick. He jumped out of the car and grabbed a kid that had a buzz cut and wearing old, worn, tattered cargo pants and pushed him up against a parked car, shouting, "What was that all about? Who are you? Just what the heck are you doing?" Sounds reasonable, right? We all probably would do that. Building up a head of steam, he went on, "That's a new car, and the brick you threw is going to cost a lot of money. Why did you do it?" The young boy says, "Please, take it easy. I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one else would stop." Tears started dripping down the boy's eyes and down his chin. As he pointed around the parked car, he said, "It's my brother. He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Sobbing, the boy asked the executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me to lift." Deeply moved, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly forming lump in his throat. He lifted the young man back into the wheelchair and took out his handkerchief and wiped the scrapes and cuts, checking to see that everything was going to be okay. "Thank you," the grateful child said. "Thank you." The man watched the little boy push his brother down the sidewalk toward their home. It was a long walk back to his Jaguar. A long, slow walk. He never did repair the side door. He kept the dip on that Jaguar to remind him not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. We could all learn from that, couldn't we? God whispers in our soul and speaks to our hearts. But when we get to the point that we are not taking time to listen, then God has to throw a brick at us to get our attention. You know what I'm talking about. Some of us joke about how thick-headed we are. You know, God, he has to whop me with a 2x4 to get my attention. Why? Why, though, when we really stop and think about that, why? Maybe because we're too busy, we're going too fast to listen to God's subtle voice. Each day it is our choice to either listen to the whisper or wait for the brick. The four friends in today's gospel lesson, they heard that whisper, which is why they took such drastic actions to get their sick friend to Jesus. You see, they learned that the healer named Jesus was in the town of Capernaum. So they put their paralyzed friend on this straw or grass mat that they had made and carried him to Jesus. But to their surprise, when they got to the house, there was no way for them to get in. The crowd was so big it was poured out onto the street. And you know how it is if your face, maybe you've been in the mall and you've had 3 or 4 big shopping bags and you're trying to get through this crowd at Christmas time. It's almost impossible, isn't it? You have to find another way because people don't pay attention to you. They're too focused on something else. And this was the case here. It was just packed. There was no way they could even elbow their way in. People were just that tight. So they grabbed some bricks of their own, so to speak, to get the attention of others. They climbed up on the roof of the house and punched a hole through it with their bare hands. Then they lowered their sick friend down with ropes on his mat down to Jesus. Now, I do want to point out that the roof that they were on was not like the roofs we have today of metal or wood and shingles. It was more of a dried mud and straw kind of combination. And so they dug that out, made a hole and lowered him through. When Jesus saw their faith, he proclaimed to the sick man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Then he said to the man, "Stand up, take your mat and go home." And the man did just that. He jumped up, grabbed his mat, and took off in front of everybody, and everybody was amazed. They knew this guy from town. They knew he'd been paralyzed for years. And all of a sudden, he just jumped up and headed out the door. God whispered to the souls of those four friends and spoke to their hearts. He inspired them to take action, to seek out Jesus by whatever means available, and to trust him to heal their paralyzed friend. When these four guys dug through the roof, Jesus looked up at their sweaty, dirty faces, and what he saw was their faith shining through. He didn't see the dirt and the mud, really. He saw their faith shining through. Let me ask you, would Jesus see the same in us? If he's looking at us right now, would he see our faith shining through? Unfortunately, most of us are moving too fast, making too much noise to hear that gentle whisper of God. We're running around with our windows rolled up and the heaters blowing on full blast and our CD players and radios wide open and our 240 horsepower engines are roaring like tigers. No wonder we can't hear the whisper of God's voice. No wonder God has to throw a brick to get our attention. And then when he does, when we try to slow down and get involved with others, our efforts still can fail. They can still fall short because our connection with the needy and marginalized is superficial at best. Miriam Adney, a writer for Christianity for Today, states, "We touch the lepers of our times at arm's length without ever leaving the security of our own turf." What does she mean by that? We hear a tragedy going on, something bad, and we say, "Well, we'll pray about that. We'll pray for them." Or, "Well, we'll send a check over to the shelter or something for that." We don't get our hands dirty. We don't get the mud and the sweat on our face that really shows that we've put our faith into action. You see, loving our neighbors means something more than just superficial giving. It means being vulnerable. It means entering into their pain. Think about it. When God and Jesus came to live among us, he shared our pain with us. He shared our troubles. He didn't stand back and say, "Oh, that's too bad that's happening over there. I'll pray for him. You know, or I'll send a check to the local synagogue in his name." He got involved. Remember, that's what we're talking about here today is love others as you love yourself. One of the commandments that Jesus gave us. When we love ourselves and something's going wrong with us, we take care of it, don't we? If we're hurting, we do something about it. If we're hungry, we go get food. If we're starving or whatever, we get food. If we need shelter, we go find shelter, don't we? Because we love ourselves. And God is calling us to love others just like ourselves. If we see somebody in need, in prayer, in need, we pray for them and then we do something about it. Folks, we will only hear the whisper when we are willing to feel the pain of our neighbors. We will only hear God's whisper when we become vulnerable enough to share their troubles and feel their pain. And then, not only feel it, but take actions that show that we love our neighbors every bit as much as we love ourselves. You see, our love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It must also be revealed in concrete actions if it's going to truly reflect our Christian faith. Listen to what James 2:15 through 17 has to say. "For if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet do not supply their bodily needs, What is the good of that? Man, that's the crux of it right there. If we see somebody starving and we say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Well, that's good. But maybe you need to take them a cheeseburger too. You know, help them with that problem. Put your faith into action. Don't just pray that God will meet their needs. Be a part of meeting their needs. If we see somebody that has no place to stay out on the street, we say, well, we'll pray for that person. Well, that's good. But help them with their problem. Give them a ride to the shelter. Connect them with somebody that can put them, give them a place to stay. Put your faith into action. You see, because faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. That's what James is talking about. That's really what we're seeing here today. Faith without works is dead, says James. And that is why the foursome in Capernaum had to punch their way through the roof to get their paralyzed friend to the healer. It was only when there was dust on their faces and dirt under their fingernails that Jesus looked up and saw their faith. You see, they could have seen their friend and said, well, you know, that healer's in town. You need to try to get there. We're going to pray that you'll find a way to get there. We're going to pray that he'll heal you. But they didn't just pray. They did something about it. They put their faith in action. They got him on a mat and they carried him across town. And when they couldn't get him in the house, they made a way into the house. So what are you going to do to make your faith visible? That's really what Christ is asking us today through this scripture. The young executive in the JAG at the beginning of our sermon lifts the hurt boy back into his wheelchair and then takes out his handkerchief and wipes the scrapes and cuts. That's active faith. There are those who spend a day each week reading and singing with patients in an Alzheimer's ward. That takes a lot of faith to do that. Others work on a regular basis at homeless shelters. That's faith in action, folks. That's getting involved. There are people in Stephen's ministry, which is a counseling ministry, who care for those who are going through personal trauma. They take time out of their lives to sit and talk and counsel with other people that are going through things. And they're volunteers. That's putting your faith in action. Still others go on global mission trips to work on issues of social justice. We hear them. We support them. This church does do a good job of supporting missionaries. We pay our apportionments that pays for missionaries to go over and fight social justice. And that's good. Maybe we need to get involved. Maybe God has laid on your heart to get involved with that somehow. Now you may be thinking, preacher, that's all well and fine, but what's the bottom line here? What are you really trying to get at? Well, that's a fair question. And the point is that those of us who call ourselves Christians have got to listen for God's whisper. That's the point. We've got to slow down. We've got to take time. We've got to listen for what God is calling us to do. Because He's calling every one of us. We've got to get up. We've got to get moving. Get lifting. Get carrying. Get climbing and get digging. Whenever we hear the gentle voice of God speaking to us and calling us to get into action for others. That's what it's about. Now, I know you may be thinking about different walls or barriers that separate you from this, from Jesus or from others, you know. Well, I don't live on that side of town, you know. Or, you know, I just can't seem to hear Jesus calling me to do those kinds of things. But just like the four fearless guys from Capernaum, you can break through them if you'll just slow down and listen to what God is calling you to do. Because He's calling. He's calling all of us. And we all get busy. We all get busy in our lives. All you have to do is place the needs of the world in front of Jesus and amazing things start to happen. The paralyzed can be healed, the hungry can be fed, the oppressed can be freed, the poor can be helped, even peace can break out, and justice can be done, and hope can replace the most desolate forms of despair. We got a lot of despair going on in this world today, folks. We don't have to look far to find it. Open the paper. Turn on the news. It's everywhere. And when we look at that, when we look at the 6 o'clock news and we go, my, that's such a sad thing. That's a bad thing. And we say, I'm going to pray for them. Pray about it. And then ask God, what are you calling me to do about it? What are you calling me to do to help take care of some of this despair and frustration and problems in the world? You say, wait a minute, preacher, there's so much going on here, I can't possibly make a difference. Sure you can. If we all start listening to what God is calling us to do, and we start doing what it is that God is calling us to do, that you'll be amazed at what will change. What can happen? All it takes is God's people hearing His voice and taking action. And we have a choice. We can either listen for the small, faint voice, or we can wait till God throws a brick at us to get our attention. I'm going to tell you, my head hurts because I've caught a few bricks. And I've learned to start listening to the small, quiet voice. And that's what God is calling each one of us to do today. Many of you are already doing that. Many of you are already active in your church and in your community, and praise God for that. But many of us are still out there moving too fast. We're not quite tuning into that small, quiet voice. And I plead with you today, if you're that one of those people that hasn't been listening or hasn't heard that voice lately, to slow down a minute, to pause and listen for what God is calling you to do. Don't wait for the brick. It hurts. Will you pray with me?